Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day. Hello, everybody. Jim Coyle with Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. Make sure you are a subscriber wherever you podcast or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. And for the most up-to-date news on Indiana basketball, football, and recruiting news, go to thehoosier.com now with On3. Just go to thehoosier.com and subscribe today. On3 has great national writers like Ari Wasserman, Andy Staples, and Steve Wiltfong covering football, Pete Nakos, Jamie Shaw, and Joe Tipton breaking basketball stories every day. In addition to that, our own local coverage with Alec Lasley, Kyler Staley, and Zach Browning covering everything Indiana just for you. Go to thehoosier.com, subscribe today. Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle with Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you, as always, for listening to our content. But for more in-depth coverage on the Indiana Hoosiers football, basketball, and recruiting news, go to thehoosier.com on 3. Now with On3 and great national writers like Ari Wasserman, Andy Staples, and Steve Wiltfong for football, Pete Nakos, Jamie Shaw, and Joe Tipton's constantly breaking stories on the basketball side. And the local coverage from Alec Lasley, Kyler Staley, and Zach Browning. You can catch something new every day at thehoosier.com. Go there. Sign up today.
Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh, Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Throw game for the win!
Taylor's gone. Goodbye, touchdown, Indy!
Pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh. Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Hello, sports fans. Welcome to another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio, coming to you on this Friday from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Glad to have you along, as always, no matter where or how you're listening. Whether it's on one of our great affiliates like 97.7 ESPN, the ref, always the right call. Down in Evansville. Up in the region on 1230, 104.7. WJOB, the voice of the region. And in Fort Wayne on Fort Wayne Sports Station 1380, the fan. Keep it locked right there where you got it. No reason to go anywhere else. Leave it there throughout the day as you're traveling. And you know the rest. Social media business, YouTube, like button, subscribe button, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. Hope you had a great week. Well, the weekend's here, baby. It's going to be a beautiful Friday. Enjoy the heck out of it. Happy Good Friday to everyone, by the way. For those celebrating, and it is going to be absolutely beautiful, I believe, and enjoy it, because into each life a little rain must fall, and that is going to be happening to us here on Saturday, I believe, like a monsoon coming. But and then happy Easter this weekend to everyone celebrating. I hope you find lots of eggs and do whatever it is you do on Easter. So good luck with that. Spring game last night. We'll talk about that, of course. We'll hear from the participants as well. Todd Leary will join us today on the program.
as well as Zach Osterman. Don't let me forget to congratulate him for his United States Basketball Writers Association Beat Writer of the Year Award. And Alec Lasley will be along as well. And if there's a need, you may hear some recap from last night. You can always go to our YouTube channel, and you'll find the post-game wrap-up between Coach Chan and Griffith and myself. But got to tell you, it was a spring game, so I don't know what a lot of times what people expect. But talked to one person, they said, "Well, I thought there was going to be more action," and I'm like, "Action how? I mean, they ran the ball, they threw the ball, they tackled the guys with the ball." I thought it. I'm looking, I'm watching to see how guys perform, but I thought that it was plenty of action. I don't want to say action packed, but they did enough. Fernando Mendoza. I mean, without question, he is the starter of that team, although he will not be named as such because that's just something that Kurt Cignetti is going to do. Alberto, I think, has established himself as number two. Who is it that has told you, been telling you, that in high school in Miami, Fernando led the way for a couple of years, and then after he graduated and left, Lil Bro stepped into the role? Looking, you may be seeing a Mendoza pipeline for a minute at Indiana. And also, although the their third quarterback, Wilson, that was in. Wilson! Dude looked poised. Alberto looked good. Wilson looked poised. The running backs, I thought they looked good. At first, I was like, oh, he's not getting much done. And all of a sudden, boom, big play. BB couldn't get much convinced. All of a sudden, boom, big play. These guys, and they showed that they can be a weapon out of the backfield. Did not get to see Elijah Surratt. Omar Cooper pulled in two touchdown throws from Fernando Mendoza, who led multiple scoring drives. But just he looked in command of the offense. I guess that's the best thing that you're looking for. Offensive line. Yeah. That was something that certainly kind of stood out to me. They look good. The pile, they moved the pile when they needed to. Things of that nature. Let's take our first pause for the cause. We'll talk some basketball. We'll get back to football. Plenty to get to. There's lots happening all over the place. Hope you're enjoying it. Back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Friday. It's a super Friday. We got to love it. That means a visit from the Shot Father, Todd Leary from myjumpshot.com. Hope everybody, if knows a kid, has kids, doesn't matter. He may know a neighbor. Birthday present, graduation present, whatever. Makes great presents. Great way to improve your basketball fundamentals for those especially that are in school or taking it seriously, whatever. He's always on the road visiting somebody, making life better, just traveling the country, making the basketball world better, a better place to be.
Not near as pretty a view this week as what I had last week, but yeah, we're still.
But not bad.
Still grinding. Yep. Nope, we're good. It's beautiful here in Bloomington now.
It is today. It is today. I believe tomorrow a monsoon is going to arrive.
I think it's going to rain for the next week, it looks like.
We've had enough of that. But last night I was out at the spring football game. I know that you were busy sleeping and getting your beauty rest, as you should have been. But fun night out there. There's been a lot of action on the basketball side of things all week long as – the fruits of the labor of Coach DeVries and staff started to come to bear. And some pretty nice pickups, starting with Lamar Wilkerson, who was a big pickup in a couple of different ways for what it said, the message it sent, but the player that they got as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of fun, you know.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but and they beat Kentucky on that.
Yeah, that's what I was laughing at. Like, the videos from some of the Kentucky, especially that KSR radio and all that, prior to him making his announcement, where they were basically saying, oh, he went to Keeneland, he's a guaranteed lock to go to Kentucky now. And I just, like, I laugh at that. It is unique, and I give them credit for that. Keeneland is a draw. It's a cool thing, but I don't think it's near as big a draw to a 19-year-old kid or 20-year-old kid as it is to, you know, us as we get older and enjoy that kind of thing. Yeah, I'm sure it was fun and cool. First time he's probably ever been next to a horse on a track like that. But at the end of the day, you know, it comes down to basketball and X's and O's and the NIL money and, you know, what's going to happen with that and the overall fit. And, you know, I do think Mark Pope is not going to have any problem over the years putting his roster together. I think his charismatic personality, as long as goes along well with his coaching ability, and I think he's a player's kind of coach. But, you know, Indiana, this is a big win for Indiana, and especially a big win for Coach DeVries in his first season to beat out, you know, Kentucky, who had a really, really good first year under Coach Pope. To beat them out and get him as a recruit, I think is a big win.
Especially because he had the advantage, because Darren DeVries had to do the same thing last year. But Mark Pope had the experience of having to do this, having to add guys. So he knows what it's like. He's been through it already. Successfully.
He has. And he's still doing it at the same school he did it at last year. I mean, it's a little different. Coach DeVries, I know, did it last year at West Virginia, but now he's at a new school. And so it's a little bit different. You're selling something, you know, a year from now, he'll sell the Indiana program and community and all of that probably a little differently than he does right now. He'll know a lot more about it. You know, Mark Pope going to playing at Kentucky and then now back there and having a year under his belt as a coach, he's a little more familiar, I think, with what their selling points. And I think Coach DeVries has done a good job, you know, getting guys bought into this program. And, you know, you can look at it both ways. Kentucky is a little more established right now than Indiana. They had a very successful first season under Coach Pope. But Indiana, you can sell players. And I've said this on your show over the years. Recruits and players all think that they're the guy that's going to be able to fix things. And people like being part of the solution. And Indiana needs a solution right now. And I think that's a pretty easy – it's not easy selling point. It's a good selling point for the coach's staff at Indiana to have, to be able to say, you know, we're going to rebuild this thing. Look at what it was before, and we're going to get it back to that, and you get to be a part of that. And that's a big deal.
Absolutely. And to have – him talk about it, being not familiar with the situation, really not being an Indiana guy, has to be a positive for Indiana fans. But I would also advise that fans don't get all jacked up about words anyway. Just wait till you see it on the court. But it's better that it's at least that you hear an acknowledgement of and an understanding of the situation, where he's going, and what he's stepping into.
Yeah, and I will tell you this. The thing I took away from the press conference, one of the most important things I think I took away, was the locker room is important. Like the atmosphere and the culture of the locker room is important. And I think it's extremely important. I think it's one of the biggest factors. When you're going to have sustained success, that culture has to be there. And you can't luck into that. You can't luck into that just, you know, happenstance year after year. You might do it one year, but that culture is important. And I'm glad that he's putting together guys. You know, he looks like he's been fairly picky in guys that they've offered and gone after. And, you know, they've been pretty successful at the ones they've gone after so far, it seems like. So I like that they're building the culture, and I like that part of it.
Signorace says he always enjoys the show. Well, Signorace, we always enjoy you saying that. Appreciate you. My old Spanish teacher. Could not have gum in class.
Let's hear some Spanish. Let's hear how good a teacher he was. Let's hear some Spanish.
Ah, señor Jaime, la chicle en la boca. Oh, man. Okay. Pronto, por favor.
Very nice.
I never got caught, but I know a lot of people that did. But I'll never forget that,
with
man.
With gum?
Yes, you could not have gum in the class, baby. La chicle en la boca. Oh, maestros, pronto, por favor. See? Señor Arte, it stuck all these years.
We were not allowed to have
I listened. I was listening.
No, you weren't.
I was listening not to get in trouble.
There you go.
But no, I'm just kidding. And so Lamar Wilkerson, first of all, he's got a certain set of skills that he brings to Indiana. But he is a guy. He's a guy. He's the guy that you want. Obviously, he was a coveted player. Kentucky wanted him. Thought they had him. But he was a wanted man. And great get by Darren DeVries because he had nothing really in the cupboard as far as the team to say, hey, here's what we got. Here's what we're going to be. No, it had to be a different sell, a different pitch. Hey, here's what we'll be with you. I need you to kind of, I'm not going to say centerpiece it, but because I don't know what all he said, but he sold it, obviously. He wanted him, and he went back and flew back to see him after he had that Kentucky visit, which, listening to Wilkerson talk, kind of solidified his decision, but he says he didn't want to go to Kentucky, be just another guy, yada, yada. He wants to stand out, and boy, I know Indiana fans will love to see that if that's something that comes to be. All of these guys, if that is an attitude that can spread throughout, and there's a lot of people who think that because of NIL, because of this money, that the guys don't care if they win or not. And I'm like, well, I'll crap on that all day long. There may be some that don't, but the majority, they want to win. It's just natural. It's what you do. You're there to compete. You're there to win. It's losing's embarrassing. So why would you not want to win? I think they all care about winning deeply, and it's going to be a new era in Bloomington, no doubt.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to butcher Coach Knight's saying, but he always said something along the lines of, you know, everybody wants to win. It's the guys who have the will to put in the work to win that are successful. And it's something like that, but that's the gist of it. And yeah, Jim, you're right. They all want to win because losing sucks. Like, it's not fun. And practices are harder. You know, fans are meaner and students don't like you. And like, it's not fun. And so, yeah, everybody wants to win. The key, and this is what I've loved about Coach DeVries, you know, since his press conference, was he said, we're going to put in the work. And I think that is going to be different than what it's been for the last few years. I don't think the prior staff, you know, I think everybody thinks they work hard, but I just am not sure that they put in the amount of work that it takes to win in college basketball today. And I don't mean that as the whole staff. I just know close enough that, you know, sometimes they didn't choose working hard over other fun activities. And so, you know, that's the thing about him that I like. And I hate to keep referencing back to the other staff because, you know, I'm sure that they worked hard. But this is something I've liked from day one. Coach DeVries has focused and put the focus on, we're going to work. We're going to put in the work. And, you know, we don't know what these recruits are going to be. Lamar Wilkerson might be the best player in the country next year. Might not pan out. We don't know. But he is a big piece. And you're right. Coach DeVries needed fifth, sixth, seventh player. Like, he needed to be able to say, here's my roster. If it gets down to the nitty-gritty and there was a game tomorrow, I could put a team out on the floor. And That's another thing I think adding Wilkerson and then a couple of the other guys they've added in the last few days. Like it's a good time, and I think they filled out the roster. They've still got some spots to fill, and they'll add some pieces to that, but I think they're sitting in a pretty good spot right now.
Oh, absolutely, and they've got more to add, like you said, specifically probably some bigger guys, some guys that I hesitate to say play down low because I don't know where the hell they're going to play. Danny Wolf didn't play down low, but
well, you need some people that are going to be able to guard big guys like that. It doesn't matter where the other big guy on the other is. Like we got to have some guys that we got to have extra fouls. You know, you got to put a roster together where you can bring somebody off the bench. You know, like a great example was Morez Johnson last year at Illinois. Like that was a true freshman that came in. They weren't sure what they were going to get out of him. And he just played. He was so efficient and played so well and rebounded so well. They were forced to play him until his injury on his wrist came up. You know, that's the kind of player Indiana needs, a guy that's going to be able to come in. You know, if he plays 10 minutes, he gets you 5 rebounds. If he plays 20 minutes, he gets you 8 or 9 rebounds. Like, and he can guard the other big guy. You've got to have some of those pieces, and you got to be able to fill that. And sometimes those guys surprise you and end up working their way right into the starting lineup. And those are the pieces I think we'll be adding from now on the rest of the offseason.
I agree with you. And more of a wing type of guys in towards the paint. With this kind of offense, what kind of a big do you see Darren DeVries going after?
A rebounder, somebody that can defend and rebound. It would be great if you could get a big guy that you could kind of play through the post and was a good passer. And I think we're going to have a cutting type offense. We're going to have a lot of shooters on the floor. So someone who can look opposite, you know, Trey Kaufman-Wren's a pretty good example of a guy who can both score, but also kick the ball around and find open shooters and that kind of thing. And I think they'll be looking for someone in that category of you know, buying into rebounding is going to be a big deal, and I really think that that they'll start putting pieces together that are going to help shore up the rebounding side of the basketball for Indiana.
Brian says good morning from beautiful Orleans, Indiana, home of Indiana High School 2025 Class A Boys State Championships. Also voted best pep band, best cheerleaders, and pep block. Orleans Dogwood Festival's going on, Todd. Don't miss out.
I don't. That's a good festival. I love going down there.
Are you going down this year?
I go every year. I love it. They got food out on the street. Well, you give me food out of the street, out of a truck, I'm there.
Every time, baby. Every time. We're going to take a pause for the cause. Don't take off for Orleans just yet. We've got lots more coming up from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Friday. The Shot Father, Todd Leary, from myjumpshot.com. Go there. If you know anyone that you could help out improving their basketball fundamentals, the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Friday. It is a beautiful one, a beautiful Good Friday. Enjoy that. Hope everyone gets to get out, spend some time with their family this weekend or whatever it is you're looking to do. You know, you mentioned Keeneland. That means Derby is just a couple of weeks away. 2 weeks from this weekend, I think. Or
is it?
Yeah. Yes, it is. 2 weeks away, and then that means the Indianapolis 500 follows behind that. There's just too much going on. I think there was something else too. I even wrote it down. The Indiana University Alumni Association Evansville golf outing May 18th. That's what it was, down at Sultan's Run. Played in that. I played in the last couple of years. Last year,
Evansville chapter is playing in Jasper.
Yeah, it's the greater Evansville area.
Okay, It's a great course. You know, Sultan's Run. If you haven't played Sultan's Run, it is awesome.
It's kind of funny. It's you're out in the middle of nowhere on the outskirts of Jasper with cornfields surrounding you. All of a sudden, there's this pristine golf course that is just absolutely beautiful and tough, but beautiful. Walking off of 18 last year, I saw a snake slithering across the fairway. Helped him on into the bunker, and I just yelled at the guys behind me, "Don't hit it into the sand, man." Don't like what you find.
No. I saw a bunch of alligators last week. It was really fun. I was as tourist as tourist gets last week in Florida with alligators on the golf course. I acted like I'd never seen one before every time I saw it. It was pretty cool.
How was the game in Florida? Does being in Florida make your golf game better?
No, because all the courses are, you know, they're in neighborhoods and they're all super tight and have water everywhere. So it doesn't help your score, I can tell you that.
I hear that, man. Hey, you know, Purdue is quietly reloading a team as well. They added a pretty good pickup from the transfer portal to go with that core of guys that they have. But and then Illinois is losing two guys that will be first-round draft picks. Yakahonis, I kind of already expected that. I didn't realize the other dude, Will, is also – yeah, a first rounder. I'm like, man, how did they not win more? They had Vesic, Morris Johnson got hurt, but boy. And now, speaking of wits, Morris Johnson over to Michigan and Dusty May and that crew as he quickly is rebuilding.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is kind of fun. Like, I don't love it. I don't think it's sustainable, but it's kind of fun in the last couple of off seasons, including this one, to kind of see where guys end up. And you know, I scrolled through the transfer portal the other night looking, and there was still, like, you know, I've watched it fairly closely. I'm not religious about watching it, but I've watched it fairly closely, and there were still some that I had missed, some guys that had gone different places that I was like, oh my gosh, that's going to be interesting. And, you know, what you said about Illinois and why didn't they win more with two, you know, first round draft picks and all the guys that they had, you know, there's more to it than just throwing five talented guys out on the court. And, you know,
you don't say.
Indiana, Kansas, and Illinois all proved that last year. I mean, they had some pretty big payrolls and they had some very talented players. And they, you know, they just didn't really pan out. And they never clicked. I shouldn't say never. They couldn't consistently click, and you know that there's a lot to that, and that's why I continue to say I like the message from Coach DeBrees in saying I'm going to build this thing from the locker room out. They're going to have a good culture. They're going to be good locker room guys, or they're not going to play, and they're not going to even be on the team. And you know, I'm glad that that's a focus because it's a huge part of whether you're successful or not at that level. And I'm pretty excited to see what they continue to put together.
And he is going to do things a little differently, I believe. It's kind of, someone mentioned it earlier, but I hadn't really talked about it yet. But kind of out with the old, in with the new. I'm not sure you're going to see any carryover. And I don't mean from the coaching staff. I knew that the assistant coaches would all be gone. But there was wondering about Jordan and Calvert, and it's just been quiet enough on that front that one, if you were going to assume, would assume that maybe it's a complete changing of the guard, because you have Drew Adams, who is not probably going to be an assistant, which means he's going to have some other kind of role, but he's been with DeVries since day one, so he's obviously a part of the staff. Whether that's going to be that GM type role or whatever it is, there's that. And you've got the Mike O'Bargan that has also come in, not as an assistant coach as well. And they still have an assistant coach to name. So it looks like it's going to be a kind of a complete changeover. New, you know, the strength and conditioning guy, he brought that guy in right off the bat as well. So, You know, a lot of people talked about the fact that, well, and Tim, I think that, you know, unfortunately had to do with some outside stuff, but that does suck to see that him not getting to go out on his own terms. I will say that. I hate that. Because I know from being around you guys enough, he's one of the guys, he may be the guy that all former players, not all, but most, is their kind of central point of communication.
Garl?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great. Like, a lot of people would be able to say, hey, look, you know what? I would like to go out on my own terms. Like, that's just not what happens all the time. Like, sometimes it happens and it works out that way. But this is one of those scenarios, in my opinion. I agree with the decision. I would say this straight to Tim Garl's face. I think it was time to just clean house with everybody. Medical staff, workout staff, and I'm not saying they didn't do a good job. I'm saying the opposite. I think they've been great, especially Tim Garl. Tim Garl is, you know, he deserves better than what is going to happen. And you know, him getting, you know, removed like that, like that's just rough, because that dude's put in his heart and soul and so much time people don't even know. Like, however amount of time players put into being there, times that times one and a half or two for Tim Garl, because he always has to be there and he's your point of contact every single day as a player, because you're hurt all the time. And if you're not hurt, you're getting your ankles taped and you're doing all these different things. And Tim does all of that and has done all of that since what, 1980. And so, you know, 45 years you put into something like that. And I'm sure I have not talked to him or spoken to him since, you know, they made that decision to go a different direction. But I would hope that he knows the players respected and enjoyed their time with him. Because Tim was a big part of everything that had, and I hope he writes a book, because if there's someone who has seen it all, if there's someone who's seen it all for 45 years, it's him. And he could, I doubt he will write a book. He's just not his personality, doesn't seem like, but that dude could tell some stories.
Yeah, there are a few people that could do so, and that would definitely be a long one. But I agree. I think that it is a cleansing, and I also agree.
I'm okay with it.
It needed to be a cleansing.
Sure, I agree.
There needed to be something. I don't care if it was a cleansing, an exorcism, anything. Indiana basketball, the program, needed something just to get it all out. Get it all out and start anew. And that's kind of where they are. And that's going to be a good thing. I think that the fans will love it. And it's going to be it's going to be a departure. They're going to see 3-point shots going down, Todd. They're going to see a team that probably is competitive from day one and plays hard, plays the right way. Does the things that you need to do defensively, offensively, whatever the case may be, but most importantly, is constructed in a manner that can do the things that I just spoke of.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's going to be a different-looking team. It's going to be a team that plays different than it has in the last several years. And, you know, I think all of those things are welcome changes. And you know, the consistency, the lack of consistency in being competitive in big time games for Indiana is something that has been there for, you know, 10 plus years. And, you know, we're still watching videos of the watch shot and stupid stuff like that. Like, we need 10 new videos to wash those things away. And those were all great parts of Indiana basketball history, but it's time to create some new good ones. And we haven't had some good ones for a while. And, you know, I'm just excited to see them. I mean, the off seasons sometimes are very slow. This is not going to be one of those. You know, we get new news, it seems like, all the time. You know, the transfer portal is going to close what, early next week, so we'll have some dead time after that and let these
not
guys
really because the names are still in it.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, we won't hear news of guys committing and
right,
that kind of stuff, you know, for a little while. And so we're gonna sit on it and be able to, you know, look at the guys that are there, and hopefully, you know, they get in there, and as soon as they're able to get to Bloomington, you know, they all get in there and get to work and get started. Because I think once they do that, I think it'll kind of snowball. And I do agree with you. I think they're going to be successful, much more successful and consistent than they have been in past years right off the bat in year one.
We're going to be good. We're going to be really good. You're going to like it. We're going to do a lot of good things. We're going to do a lot of good things with the basketball. We're going to move the ball. We're going to do a lot of, you're going to like it. A lot of good things.
You got a lot of different voices going today.
That was the worst one, probably. they've added all these new pieces: Reed and Wilkerson, Miles, Conaway. What do these guys bring? Because they're all kind of something different right now. You're bringing in the different little pieces that can add here and there to what is there with Trent Sisley and Tucker DeVries. So you've got. That's a nice little core to start with. He's got some serious pieces to add. We talked about the bigs and whatnot, but man, he's got a hell of a start going.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, what can these guys bring? They all bring, you know, a skill set that we've seen them be able to adapt in college basketball. Now, it's not been at this level, and I'm the first one that admits that. I'm not going to get too amped up, although I'm excited that I'm excited that these guys are signing up for playing for a coach that wants to work hard and wants to do things the right way and all of that. These guys that are signing up for that, they know it's not going to be easy. They're not just coming in here collecting checks and it's going to be, you know, pick up basketball for the next 6 months. They're going to come in here and work. And that's been the theme and motto, I think, from Coach DeVries. From day one is they're going to work and they're going to put the work in. And honestly, that's what I needed to hear as a fan, as a former player, as someone that wants this program to get back to the success it had at one point, putting in the work is where it all starts. And I'm glad that was the focus in the initial press conference.
Absolutely. And it's someone who wants from the coaching staff who actually wants to get Indiana back to being Indiana. I believe that about Darren DeVries.
I agree.
I'm not looking to bash on Mike, but Mike did so in words. I think that he wanted it to happen, but he wanted it to happen in like wishing for a Christmas present from Santa Claus, as yeah. If it was just going to appear under the tree. That's just not how it works. But with Darren DeVries, he knows. We can tell. I mean, we both seen him out working the phones, at a game, doing this, doing that, getting on a plane, flying to see a recruit that just saw somebody else that has already been at your place because you won him. He's already making these efforts that you have to make now to get it done, and it's starting to win. Getting some of these commitments like Lamar Wilkerson and those that quickly followed. I thought that the Lamar Wilkerson commit would kind of grease the rails, and boy, did it. It was almost before I could even get that out. Bam. Either Conaway committed and then Miles as well. But I expect more to come because now they can kind of turn their focus. They had to focus on these guys for a minute. Now they can kind of turn their focus to a different direction. They can go down aisle 14 or the hardware section now and look at some guys.
Well, it is hard and more difficult when you have to fill that many different spots on a roster. You know, when you mentioned a minute ago, and Purdue has done this over the years, they've had a core come back and they've added a piece or two each season. And that's obviously, you know, it's just numbers. That's easier to do than to go out and have to try to sign seven or eight guys. And unfortunately, that's the position Coach DeVries is in. And, you know, I think that it probably in the long run is going to work out to his benefit to be able to fill the roster with guys that he's kind of selected. Because when you come into a situation and you already have, you know, 11 players on your roster, you know, like I don't want to say you're stuck with those guys because they're all talented guys, but you know, they might not fit your style, and he's getting to select those guys. So I think there's a benefit to that. Is it more work and hard work? Absolutely. And I'm sure we don't know the half of the amount of time they are spending and phone calls they're making and all the stuff that's going on. We probably missed out on, you know, 20 recruits already for the 4 or 5 that we've got. And so, you know, that's the nature of the business, and that's the way it goes. I mean, you see McKenzie and Baco just signing with Texas A&M. And that stuff, like, you know what, like, I really wish the best for McKenzie and Baco. Like, I am not one of those fans that hopes he doesn't go somewhere else and is successful. Sometimes the fit just isn't right. And unfortunately, you know, the fit just wasn't right for McKenzie and Baco at Indiana, I don't feel like. And if it was, then the fit is better somewhere else right now. And I think he'll go off and have a good career, and I'm rooting for that for him and for all the guys that ended up going other places.
Justin asking, Bryson Tucker has not committed anywhere. Any chance he comes back? I'm going to say that's probably a hard no. He wouldn't have left after the conversations with Darren DeVries had that been the case, in my opinion, unless he was taking Todd's advice and just checking his value,
taking the market, which is
always a possibility.
Sure.
So I'm learning to never say never on some of this stuff, because maybe that is what he's doing, because he did wait. He was the last guy to put his name into the portal, which was a little shocking because he didn't play at the end of the year. So I don't think so. I think that the fact that he did wait to do that and then had those conversations and then put his name in, that he's probably gone, in my opinion, but I never say never.
Yeah, and you know, the reason why we might second guess that is because he hasn't signed somewhere else yet. And he was a 5-star recruit. Like, he was a highly sought-after player a year ago. I'm sure he has a value out there in the market. And I don't blame him for testing that. But, Jim, we keep going back to this. Unless – you know, I don't know what Coach DeVries is going to do, you know, with the NIL money, like how you share it and how you spread it out and all that. That's the decision they get to make. But, you know, how much more money is he going to make somewhere else? And yes, money is a factor in this anymore. It's not just, it used to always be the number one factor was, do you fit in? And now I'm going to say it's 1A and 1B. Do you fit in, and how much money can they pay you? And is it equivalent to what the market would bring for you somewhere else? And so, you know, I don't think there's going to be a lot of places that are going to outbid Indiana. There are some, but there's not a lot. And so, you know, that's where I'm sure Bryson Tucker is weighing the option of, you know, what's it going to be like? As we've seen with Coach DeVries, he may, I don't know this at all, but he may not want Bryson Tucker to come back. I don't know that. He may want Bryson Tucker to come back more than anything. But, you know, the kid's testing the market, and I don't blame him for that, and I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, Heath asking about Trey Singleton, who is a Jeffersonville player that is going to Northwestern, was not recruited by Indiana. It's a little surprisingly, to be honest with you, but I still think that would be a no, only because I'm just getting the sense from Darren DeVries that anything that went on before, I'm not touching. You know, anything that happened at IU before, I'm not touching. If it's a former player, I don't want to talk to him. And I don't mean this in a negative way. It's forging your own path, and forging a path that does not have any carryover, because that carryover has not been good. The last decade has been just atrocious. So why would you want to carry any of that over? Why Mike Woodson brought that staff from Archie Miller? If that didn't scream, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, or I don't know. But anyway, it just seems like he wants a complete break. And I don't blame him, because maybe he wants to make sure that winning or failing, succeeding or failing, is going to be on his terms and how he wants to do it.
Yeah, I think that I think your last statement there is probably the most true in that, look, if I'm going to be responsible for, you know, the success of our program, it's going to be held over my head, which it should be, and it definitely will be. You know, I want the people around me that I'm the most comfortable with. I don't think like they would look at a situation like a Trey Singleton of, you know, we're not going to recruit him because, you know, the old staff did or did not recruit him or whatever contact it may be. I don't think that plays any factor whatsoever. I think they would look at him. I think Coach Signetti put it the best a year ago that he wants production over potential or whatever, something like that. And that's what the portal guys can give you. Like they can, you know what a guy is capable of. You've seen him do it at a higher level than what high school basketball is. And, you know, that's why I'm excited about Trent Sicily. And I think, you know, people don't talk enough about the sacrifice that Trent Sicily made, but he basically took himself out of the running, or not basically, he 100% took himself out of the running for Mr. Basketball Candidate. And being an Indiana All-Star and all that, he did that all to go get better. And he practiced every day against other five-star guys. He played in games, you know, most of their games were against other five-star, you know, big-time recruits that are – some of them were even a year younger than them or 2 years younger. But he played against better competition, and he did that as a sacrifice. Like he did that so he could get better. And – I recognize that. I see that, and I commend that. I think that's a smart move in the long run for him, but he definitely gave up something that, you know, that would have been personal for him. When he's 50 years old, he would have been announced as a, you know, a Mr. Basketball candidate, and he might have won Mr. Basketball. We don't know that. We can't say yes or no, but, you know, I think Coach DeVries is putting guys together that, one, there's going to be a mix of guys that already have produced at the college level. And then he's going to have the guys like Sicily that are come in that, you know, I think Coach DeVries is going to be pleasantly surprised when he gets all of his team on the court at what Trent Sicily is going to help bring to this team. Because if Trent Sicily doesn't start on this team, that's a good sign, because that means this team has a lot of talent, because Trent Sicily would start on just about every other Big Ten team.
Nothing against Trent. He's not going to start on this team because I can see the guys that he's already bringing in.
You don't know that.
I don't know. I know nothing. I'll tell you that right now. I'm just saying he's bringing in a lot of talent.
He is, and Trent is a lot of talent.
He's probably a year away from starting, maybe. But the fact that you have something like that on the bench is nice to know.
It is. You are that part. Totally true. Here's the thing I will say to you. When you look at the talented roster that Kansas had and Illinois had and Indiana had last year, at the end of the year, who was starting for Indiana? Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway.
Yep.
Not the big five stars that everyone was excited about we were bringing in, and all of not McKenzie Mbako and those guys. Like, they were not producing. And we don't know who's going to produce, but I'm going to stand on – if Trent Sicily is not a starter on this team is going to be a pretty darn good team, because this Trent brings a lot of things to him. And I know he's a freshman. I get all of that. But he's played in a lot of big-time basketball, especially over the last year in practice. I saw him play against, you know, other guys that are supposed to be, you know, the top players in the country. And he's not a slouch at all. He definitely not only holds his own, but he stood out to me.
You're no slouch yourself, sir.
I can't remember the quote from Caddyshack, but I know there's something.
I know you're a tremendous slouch.
Don't sell yourself short. You're a tremendous slouch.
Yeah, that's what it was. Oh man, I couldn't get it out either. The great Todd Leary from myjumpshot.com. Go there. Help him out. Hey, appreciate you, my friend. Have a great weekend. Happy Easter.
Thank you, Jessica. Enjoyed it like always. Thanks, bud.
Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Friday. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you. Hope you have some good Easter plans, Easter weekend plans. I get to go see Kylie, so that's el numero uno. Looking forward to that. I hope it is a quiet weekend on the on the war front here with things flying left and right, but that's never the case. We'll see. I wonder with it being Easter weekend if, you know, commitments will slow down just a little bit for the time here and there, but we shall see. We shall see. I'm looking forward to Zach Osterman hopefully joining us. We missed him last week. He was been gone to the Final Four and all of that and staying busy. But, you know, when you're the USBA, United States Basketball Writers Association's beat writer of the year, that keeps you pretty busy. But I will send him a message as a little reminder to make sure he hasn't forgotten about us here on in our little lonely island. How are you going to spend your weekend now that the spring game is come and gone? And I guess maybe, I don't know, was it for the players that it was Easter weekend that the game was moved? Because it couldn't have been for the students. The students don't go to those things anyway. But Zach Osterman joining us now from the Indy Star, as I have mentioned already, the United States Basketball Writers Association beat writer of the year. Congratulations. Where's the crown? I wanted to see a crown, man.
No, no crown. There's a little plaque over here. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Dude, congratulations. Tremendous work. I was talking with, I think it was Kit Klingelhofer. Saw him the other day, and we're talking about that. And he was raving about you, your work, and I'm like, yep, that's Zach. That's him, man. So congratulations, brother. You just certainly deserve it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm confident there were many others who deserved it more, but it was and remains a really big honor on my end.
Well, and you'll have plenty of opportunities to keep up putting out that kind of work, because the parade keeps on rolling as Indiana still filling a lot of holes on a basketball roster, and now we're a week away thereabouts from, or less, maybe, I guess, the football transfer portal opening. Last night, the spring football game, I think that everything looked pretty positive to me, but I know that from a coaching standpoint, there are some holes that they want to fill, probably more on defense than offense.
Yeah, so first of all, the portal window actually opened this week. And it's not open long. I think it's open
like a week, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's open until, I'm looking at it now, until April 25th, so a week from today. But it is open, you know, so anybody can go in now if they want to. No, I mean, listen, you know, a team is not going to be a fully formed outfit in spring camp. You know, I think this one, Kurt Cignetti has talked about, there's probably some, you know, I mean, he's talked actually about receiver because of Tyler Morris's injury. We saw Indiana in the portal kind of late in the winter for some help at edge rusher. You know, have they seen something from like a Mario Landino or a Daniel Ndukwe that tells them maybe they don't need that now? I don't know. Or a Tadarius Collins. But I think, you know, I think Indiana might have, I want to say like five or six scholarships still sort of unaccounted for going into next season. And it doesn't need to fill all 85. But the point is there's room here that I think has been left at least somewhat intentionally to try and, you know, if Indiana identifies some spots it feels like it needs to fill, to give itself the wiggle room to do that. Of course, that takes two to tango. You know, you always kind of want to say that, like, there's got to be a player, there's got to be a player out there that wants Indiana. There's got to be the resources necessary to bring them in. And, you know, it is worth saying, while, you know, this spring portal window is kind of being highlighted for its chaos because the House settlement was expected to be approved by now and it hasn't been, it is still very brief. So, and you know, you're not going to see the kind of churn that you would see, probably anywhere near the kind of churn you would see in a normal winter portal window. So, you know, you don't want to kind of overstate it, but I would be surprised if Indiana doesn't add or at least make a real attempt to add, I would say, at least 2 to 3 players, you know, from this portal. And again, it's always worth remembering, the window is just for going into the portal. It's not for getting out of the portal. So it's, you know, if Indiana's not added anybody by April 25th, that doesn't mean they're not going to. It just means that April 25th is when underclassmen are no longer allowed to enter the portal. If you're talking about, like, maybe where position groups aren't fully settled, I mean, I think Indiana's still got some questions to answer along the defensive line. I think it's got some stuff to sort out in the secondary. You know, some of the same can be said on the offensive side, but you look at, for example, running back. Well, you've got Kalon Black back from last season, plus 2 very experienced transfers. Roman Hemby's been around forever. Lee Beebe's, I think, a junior now. So, you know, offensive line's another example. Yeah, you're breaking in. I know some guys weren't dressed out. You're breaking in some new pieces, but you still got a Carter Smith. You know, a guy like Pat Coogan is going to settle in really quickly with his experience and his leadership. So, I mean, it's probably not surprising that the offense looks a little bit, you know, more polished. Listen, the other part of this, too, is you're talking about an offensive head coach. So there's probably always an extent to which the offense is not necessarily going to be prioritized over the defense, but is going to maybe in some situations look a little crisper, look a little bit more, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of ahead of schedule maybe, or at least ahead of, again, the defense. But if you're Indiana, I wouldn't worry too much. I think you still, you know, based on what I was able to pick up from last night and talking with Mike Nieselick, who was there, you know, Relijah Hardy, who I quietly think could wind up being a very, very good player for Indiana. He had a good night. Sounded like some of those young defensive backs that Indiana might need to ask a little bit more of this season had good games. So we'll see. I mean, you know, the thing that you can count on with your defense that maybe you still kind of need to see it in a game to know for certain with your offense is, you know, your heavy hitters on defense, Kamara, Fisher, Pons, Farrell, you know what those guys are. You know what they can do. You know, there's no question. Whereas you go to the offensive side and, you know, you're breaking in a new right tackle. You've got a quarterback that's got all the bona fides in the world. But again, you just kind of need to see him do it in live games against an unknown opponent in the fall, in this offense, to say, okay, yeah, it makes sense. This is what it looks like. This is how it works. So, you know, the offense might by its nature be, you know, kind of a little bit pushed out a little further ahead of the defense, but I don't think if you're Indiana, you need to worry too much about that.
No, and I think that the offense looked pretty sharp for a spring game. You're not getting tested completely because it's a spring game. But Fernando Mendoza looked very sharp. But not just Fernando, Alberto Mendoza and Wilson stepped in. Looked kind of fearless, stepped up into the pocket and made some throws. They're, you know, kind of thin at quarterback, I guess, right now for numbers-wise. But talent-wise, they're pretty solid. They're much more solid than they were a year ago, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be fine. You know, remember that you're going to add one more when Jacob Bell gets to campus in the summer. He didn't sign until February, so, you know, he was never going to be an early enrollee. But, you know, you're going to have a true freshman, a redshirt freshman. Obviously, you recruit Grant Wilson as a very, very experienced backup. And then Fernando Mendoza, I think everyone understands, is kind of the clear starter. He's a redshirt junior. So the point is, on paper anyway, even with Tyler Cherry out for the year, I think you have every right to feel like you've got the pieces you need at quarterback. And it was interesting. One of the things I was interested in actually yesterday was to see who that number two was. And it seems like it's Alberto Mendoza at the moment, which isn't super surprising, and I don't know if that changes going into the fall, but Mendoza's got a lot more time on task, Alberto Mendoza, than, you know, Grant Wilson. I mean, if you think about it, he's the most experienced quarterback at Indiana in the quarterback room. You know, he's been at IU longer than you know, any of those other three guys. So maybe it shouldn't be surprising that he's the number two, at least right now. But I think, you know, I think health-wise, Indiana, or depth-wise, Indiana has enough there. Obviously, all it takes is one or two injuries, and you suddenly feel like, oh, man, like, this is, you know, this is a real problem. But listen, that's, you know, that's true of any position. If you, you know, if you say, well, if Indiana suffers a couple injuries at quarterback, they're in trouble. Well, if Indiana suffers a couple injuries at left tackle, they're in trouble. You know, if Indiana suffers a couple injuries at middle linebacker, they're in trouble. That's just the nature of the game. So I think, you know, it seemed like last night was very encouraging. I think Mike, I have the numbers up here. I made sure I had them. Mike charted Fernando and Alberto Mendoza as a combined 20 of 27 for 219 yards and three touchdowns. I think Fernando also threw that interception to Elijah Hardy that was actually tipped in the air and then picked. I think it was Fernando. But, you know, that's encouraging. Again, it is just a spring game, but you feel like, okay, you know, that steadiness, that efficiency is still there. And then you remember, too, like, this is an offense that has had a lot of success adapting in transfer quarterbacks. Kurt Cignetti's last four quarterbacks, if we include Fernando Mendoza, have all been transfers. Todd Centeio, Jordan McLeod, Curtis Rourke, and now the elder Mendoza. So it's a reminder, too, that the offense is part of this. We tend to talk about, you know, whether it's quarterback, whether it's anything, we tend to talk in terms of, like, you know, kind of the individual players and their talents and their production. But I think it's fair to kind of have faith in the system too, because the system is what's consistent. It's Cignetti's offense. And over, you know, four different transfer quarterbacks at three different levels of football, from FCS to Sun Belt to Big Ten, it has yet to fail to work, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does. And it's looking forward. It's always, well, I shouldn't say it's always, it's kind of weird going into a season with the expectations that there are now for Indiana football. And I told someone just the other day that 8-4 would be disappointing for this team. Who the hell has ever said that in the history of the earth in regards to Indiana football? But it has quickly become a fact, and wishing them well as they will move on into the fall, summertime now, and then come back into the fall and work to become another CFP team. Basketball has been busy as well, as transfer portal additions. Man, that one big recruit hit with Lamar Wilkerson, and it seemed to kind of grease the wheels. I know the work was already in place, but it kind of greased the wheels of a bang, 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 three-hit recruitment week for Indiana.
No, I mean, it. You know, it's funny. Like, I was talking to my editor today, and I said, like, I think things will be quiet, finally kind of be quiet here for a little bit. And I think, you know, Indiana, and I'll pull up the scholarship chart just to remind myself who else in the fold at this point. Indiana always needed to kind of go get its heavy hitters first. It needed to go find the players, whether it's a Reed Bailey, you know, a Tayson Conaway, Lamar Wilkerson, Tucker DeVries, whoever. It needed to go find the guys that it was going to look at and say, you're going to get the lion's share of the minutes, the shots, the rebounds, the assists, the steals, whatever. Because, number one, that's where you're going to commit most of your money, obviously, from a roster building standpoint. And number two, who those guys are and what their strengths are is going to inform who you recruit around them, if that makes any sense. So if Indiana had added, let's say, Josh Dix instead of Lamar Wilkerson, because we know Indiana was recruiting Josh Dix at one point, I don't think it's unfair to assume, two, you know, volume, three-point, dangerous shooting guards, volume scoring, dangerous shooters, whatever, that it might have been, you know, something of an either or situation. Well, Josh Dix has different strengths and weaknesses to his game than Lamar Wilkerson, presumably. Maybe Wilkerson's a little better defensively. Maybe Dix rebounds the ball a little better. Maybe, you know, one's got a little bit more wingspan and can do a little bit more defensively than the other. So the point is, if you get Dix, that's probably going to inform what you go try to recruit in a maybe a role player, a bench player, to make sure you've got some qualities on your roster that, that Dix can't bring. But if you if it's Wilkerson instead, then you might be targeting a different kind of player to complement him, if that makes sense. So it was always kind of going to work this way. Obviously, you know, listen, Luke Goody is still going through the waiver process. If he gets his waiver, Indiana's going to have six players for next season that have no more eligibility after next season. So you do need to start future-proofing as well a little bit, at least as best you can. I know that's something that is going to come with time a little bit too. That's why I think the Josiah Miles pickup was interesting. I don't know what kind of role until I see any of these guys, you know, what kind of role some of these guys are going to play. But Miles is an intriguing player who also has eligibility beyond next season. So he's someone you can talk about the pathway for next year, but you can also talk about a pathway that says, hey, listen, you know, whatever you wind up doing in 25-26 at Indiana, in 26-27, you know, all the best will in the world, you are one of the alphas, you know, in our team, in our offense, in our schemes, and in the way we're set up. So I think, you know, obviously, again, you know, if Goody gets the year back, Indiana's got eight scholarship players, six of them, and they're entering their final year of eligibility. I would be surprised. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if Indiana goes all the way to 13 scholarships, but, you know, I think more programs are moving away from feeling like they have to carry the full complement. I would be surprised if Indiana goes over the 13. I don't think Indiana's going to add scholarships over the standard limits, even though that is allowed by the House settlement. So we're probably looking at, depending on the outcome of Goody's sort of waiver process, maybe four to five more additions, maybe six, if there's a player that just absolutely warrants it. But the point, what I'm trying to say here is a lot of the heavy lifting is done now. And I think Indiana can be a little bit more targeted, a little bit more selective. And you might start seeing some players come through that, you know, maybe don't have eye-popping stats, or they weren't, you know, all conference in the, you know, in the SWAC or something. They are, you know, maybe a little bit more kind of like, well, he's a really good defender, or he's a really good rim protector. You know, you can see a more sort of focused and narrow role for them in this team. And that means Indiana can be maybe a little bit more patient and take a little more time. DeVries has been pretty clear that his approach is much more motion based. Now that doesn't mean, you know, it's not the old motion offense where it's just constantly just like screen and move and screen and move and, you know, everything's positionless, but it does mean that the ball's not in the motion offense, the ball's not supposed to stick. It's supposed to just keep circulating and keep circulating. And every coach will have different layers to it of you know, kind of where they run their screening actions or their cutting actions to create open looks for their players. But, I mean, I think this is going to be a much more free-flowing offense. Every time I've heard DeVries talk about his offensive philosophies, I have come away and this is, you know, a dangerously easy comparison to make, but I have come away thinking about Creighton and thinking about his time with Dana Altman, but even more than that with Greg McDermott. And obviously Greg McDermott has had some, you know, exceptionally efficient offenses down the years. I'm looking at his, you know, just since 2018, Creighton has had a top 35 offense in adjusted efficiency. I think six times in 7 years or six times in 8 years, maybe that is, you know, that they are consistently capable of shooting the three. They are, turnovers kind of ebb and flow, but they are a consistently efficient team at the free throw line. And I think that is what DeVries has in his mind's eye is just a team that is, you know, if you look at the individual profiles of some of these players that, you know, for example, I think a lot of people see Taysom Conterway and they think that he's going to, you know, that Conterway is kind of Indiana's next point guard. And I think that's probably going to be sort of a primary role for him. But, you know, I mean, Tucker DeVries can pass the ball. He can rebound the ball. Lamar Wilkerson can pass and rebound the ball. Reed Bailey's, you know, if you watch his film, he's an outstanding passer for a big man. He plays so well in high ball screens, dribble handoffs, things like that. So I think you've got a lot of guys here whose statistical profile says they are good at sharing the basketball and finding their shots within an offense that is just constantly recycling the basketball. And so, yeah, I think it's going to look very different to what Indiana fans have seen the last couple, 3-4 years.
And could Indiana fans be on the precipice of an unprecedented era in Indiana athletics with both football and basketball getting to an elite status? We'll have to wait to answer that question, but it is certainly something fun to think about. Zach, what's up next for you, brother? You get a little weekend off, enjoy burying some eggs for the kiddos.
Yeah, I think this will be, you know, things are finally starting to slow down. I was kind of sprinting there through the end of the season. I was at the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and the title game, which was a lot of fun. But, you know, you're kind of, by the end of it, you're a little road weary. So just kind of trying to recharge a little bit. I mean, we're about to get into what is ultimately, you know, kind of the quietest part of the schedule. Once the portal stuff kind of quiets down end of this month through maybe the middle of next month, you know, athletes go home, campus clears out. And other than the small handful of seasons that are still going on, maybe a golf, a track and field, obviously baseball, softball, you know, this is kind of when everybody is able to pause and take a breath before, you know, once you get to June, that's when everybody starts coming back to campus and off-season workouts ramp up. And, you know, you start thinking about, you know, football season coming and basketball is going to have a foreign tour and all that. So this is just kind of a natural, you know, sort of wind down time.
Well, enjoy it, my friend. Enjoy the Easter weekend with the family.
I will. Thanks for having me, Jim, as always.
Thank you, sir. Zach Osterman, not only the United States Basketball Beat Writers Association Beat Writer of the Year, but great, great friend to the show. Look forward to his visits each and every Friday. And Alec Lasley as well. He'll join us next on the other side as we'll hit one more break here. Back with it from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Friday. And that means a visit from Alec Lasley from thehoosier.com on 3. Been a busy, busy week, my friend.
It has, obviously. Spring game last night, a ton of visits on the basketball side earlier this week. Obviously, a ton of really good news from an Indiana perspective and filling out that roster. But now you go into, you know, a bit of a not a low kind of dead period here, but you're starting to get the end of the, you know, the open portal window with that closing on the 22nd. So things are slowly starting to kind of take shape and find its way back to a middle ground here.
Thank God, I'm worn out. It doesn't end. It's pretty been pretty nonstop, but. Talking about last night, the spring game, talked about that a little bit with Zach and earlier, and I thought things looked pretty good, especially offensively. Your big quarterback is your new quarterback, Fernando Mendoza. Not only did Fernando look good, Alberto looked good. I thought Wilson looked good. They're thin at quarterback, but man, they're better talented than they were a year ago, without question. Nothing against Taven Jackson, but I think if Alberto were to have to go in, He could play. I think he could actually play. I'm not saying he's his brother yet, because his brother seems like he just got that. Ooh, he's got some zip in that arm, man.
No, he does. I mean, I thought he looked obviously, you know, take it for what it's worth, right? It's a, you know, Kurt Cignetti talks about it. It's a glorified practice. You're not really going to learn a lot, but at the same time, you know, it gives you a little bit more of a sense of, you know, what this team could potentially look like. Obviously, the playbook is nowhere near as open as what it's going to be like in August and September and moving forward. But, you know, it gave you a good sneak peek into, you know, potentially what the skill sets are on this team. And for a lot of people, right, the first time that they saw Fernando Mendoza, if they were at the game, outside of just the couple highlight clips that that people have been able to see from social media, you know, one thing I think, you know, a lot of people are probably going to be excited about is his mobility, and not even his mobility to be a runner, but to elude pass rushers. And I think that's one aspect of his game that is severely underrated because of just how under pressure he was last year, how many sacks he had. But, you know, watching him last night, yeah, exactly. Watching him last night, I think you can see he probably, you know, avoided maybe 20 extra sacks last year at this point, just by his quick footwork, his ability to really, you know, plant his leg and change direction just ever so slightly and elude the oncoming pass rush. And, you know, he's going to be able to run the ball for Indiana this year and provide a little bit more value with his legs there. But I think it's more him getting out of the pocket and still finding a wide receiver as opposed to actually running the ball for yardage that's going to be effective, and staying in the pocket and eluding some obviously pass rushers to be able to keep the play going on that you probably didn't see a lot last year with Curtis Rourke. It was pretty much going through the reads, hitting your wideout, which he did a phenomenal job at, but really not being able to provide a lot of other value when it came to his legs and his mobility there. Now, obviously, some of that may be because the ACL issue and everything that went on, but I think we know that this skill set that Mendoza has is and no knock on Curtis Rourke, but I think light years above what Curtis Rourke brought in to Indiana last year. And it's got to be exciting for not only this coaching staff, but obviously the players and the fans that did see it last night.
I agree 1,000%. And he looks sharp for spring. You know, he's not been here very long. So, which doesn't mean a lot because it's the like you said, the playbook is pretty muted right now. But man, I remember when I saw him at Indiana's pro day, and I got to see him throw a lot of deep balls, and I'm like, oh my, he's got that in him too. He can throw the pill down the field and put it on the mark. I think, man, when Indiana and the offensive line, looked markedly visually better. The line of scrimmage was moving backwards, and this is against the number one defense. Now Indiana probably needs to add a guy or two there, but still, that's success. That's production. That's moving forward.
No, absolutely. I think the interesting part was, right, obviously Elijah Surratt didn't play any snaps last night. Mekhi Jackson didn't see any snaps last night. So
I didn't see any snaps last night either.
Well, we're glad for that. But you know, so you have two guys there that are, you know, figuring to be, obviously with Surratt and then Mekhi Jackson, two, you know, very integral parts of the wide receiving rotation, right? Especially Surratt, a guy who's going to stretch the field and go deep there. Mekhi Jackson probably going to slide into that slot spot without Tyler Morris. EJ Williams had some good moments there. Obviously, we saw what Omar Cooper could do last year, and I think he, you know, showed a lot of really good progress and really kind of tried to take over that alpha mentality last night as well. So you're pretty set with that top end of the rotation there. It's more or less about what you can do with the remaining wideouts. I thought LeBron Bond potentially in that slot really showed some good progress. And
don't you just love just saying that name, LeBron Bond?
Yeah, it's a fun one. A much different body than the other LeBron that we've come to know. But you know, 5'9", super quick, pretty explosive across the middle. But I think you know you have a lot of explosive playmakers on this roster. Lee Beebe, another guy who I think was, in my opinion, the very major standout from last night. Not only his ability to, you know, catch a ball and get out in open space, but the explosiveness that he has and the change of direction, the quickness that he has when he can plant and turn and go from the right side of the line of scrimmage to the left and you know, the snap of a finger. I think that is something that not a lot of people may
so
have.
So spring is in the books.
Sorry about that. Keep going, please.
No, I just think that, you know, again, there's so many explosive playmakers on this roster that are going to make an impact in one way or another. And I think, you know, Cignetti talked about that a little bit last night. We made a joke about it at the very end where he's like, either we have way more explosive playmakers on offense or we need to get a lot better defensively, right? And I think it's a little bit of both, but I do think the emergence of the more explosive playmakers this year is something that you didn't have a season ago where you had a lot more, especially in the slot and the running back position, a lot more kind of ground and, you know, grinded out, pounded out physical runners. I think you have a lot more elusiveness, fluid athleticism in those spots that's going to be very, very helpful. Especially if you have a very good offensive line and create more of that space for a lot of those guys too.
Yeah, I asked Kurt that question of that. It just seemed like there was more players that what I called with pop plays in the beginning. BB, he wasn't doing much, and all of a sudden, boom, he had a nice play. The same with Roman Hemby. And the one that really stuck out, though, was a guy that's already been here, and that is Kalen Black, who took that ball, just a handoff up the middle, and it looked like he was shot out of a cannon. His speed, it was a burst. I mean, boom, you got to have that stuff. And then, of course, on and throwing the ball as well with the type of ball that Fernando Mendoza throws, I think this offense is going to be a team full of guys that have the pop possibility, as I'm calling it. And we didn't even see Elijah Surratt. And maybe they pick up somebody else, or maybe somebody grows through the fall, the summer and the fall. But they have playmakers. And, yeah, that's exactly what he said. But it was apparent. You could see it. Also, it helps to be in your second year of doing this as opposed to the first year. But, man, the offense is going to be better this season than last season, in my opinion, as long as they stay healthy, because they've upgraded the offensive line, and that was another place where I could see a difference. You could see that they weren't getting beat. They were protecting the quarterback, but it'll be interesting to see what happens in a real game. But they've improved. They've improved in the areas where they need to improve. That's how you win, baby.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think you see the wide receiving room still, I think, needs another body, whether that's, you know, more. And Zach and I were talking about this too, Zach Browning, where, you know, I think he brought up a good point saying they just need to add a pass catcher to that room, you know, right? Whether it's at the wide receiver kind of group or at the tight end position, just someone who can be a little bit more of a depth piece there catching the ball. But I just don't think you can rely fully on a guy like EJ Williams, who's obviously had his health issues over the you know, two seasons he's been at Indiana, to provide that consistent third wideout. And we know this team likes to have multiple wide receivers on the field. The one thing that, you know, we saw from the skill sets of these running backs, though, was their ability to catch the ball. And this is something that Kurt Cignetti talked about during signing day a couple months ago, was they wanted to get more production out of the running backs in the pass catching game. And I think you saw that there were, again, probably a little bit because of the playbook last night, right? But you just saw their ability. Roman Hemby had a couple really good plays in open space catching the ball. Lee Beebe had a 24-yarder. Kalen Black, we know he's a super versatile guy who can both create that pop on the ground and through the air there. But I think you're going to start to see a lot more designed running back passes there. I should say, you know, passes to running backs, and allow them to get out in that open space. You have a very versatile and athletic offensive line too. So even if those are, you know, short little swing passes out to the flat, get the running backs again out in open space, let them miss some, create some missed tackles. Lee Beebe, I think, had, you know, 4 or 5 missed tackles alone last night on a couple different runs. So this is a very versatile running back room that I think is going to help that that depth in the pass catching game. But again, another guy that we didn't see, Drew Evans, on that offensive line, obviously, you know, tore his Achilles middle part of the season last year. And this Khalil Benson, another guy that we didn't see, right? So this offensive line has very good depth from where a season ago their starting group was very talented and very good, but you definitely saw a drop off when they went to that second unit, and there were a couple rotational pieces in there. And I think that's the big difference. And that's one thing that Kurt Cignetti talked about after they lost to Notre Dame, right? The Notre Dame, the Michigan, and the Ohio States, they have depth in the front seven, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's the defensive line. They have full on 2 units who can rotate through, and you don't really miss a beat. And that's one thing that Indiana has always struggled with, whereas they can compete with the top teams when it comes to a couple of those front end rotation pieces, but you see a major drop off when you come in and bring in some bench players. So I think that's one thing that they really did a phenomenal job at a number of positions is getting quality depth. That you're going to see really pay off in a lot of those big physical games that Indiana definitely needs to win this year.
I'll take one shot at hitting that answer from Kurt Cignetti, because it's hard to cue it up with from this position right now, and then we'll go to a break and come back and talk hoops news, because there's plenty of that too.
Our Michigan guy to the non-contact knee, Tyler Morris. And Becker made progress. And I also thought that the freshman, Bond, made progress. And we've got Chandler coming in. So I'm counting on Jackson coming back, which will help our depth. And EJ made plays all spring long. And with EJ, it's not having the mental lapse here and there, missed assignment here and there, that kind of thing. But I'm counting on him having a huge year for us. You know, he's a big target with great body control, excellent ball skills, and he's a threat.
Well, missed out on that one. That's okay. We'll cue it up, but we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, Alec can fill you in on all the basketball happenings, which you know what has gone on, but we'll talk a little bit more about these players individually and some that may be are on the radar. You're listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, coming to you from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Jim Coyle with you as always, and joined by Alec Lasley from thehoosier.com on 3. Hey, make sure you go to thehoosier.com. They've got a special right now, just hooked up with on 3, and the content has been off the chain. Constant story. The amount of content is unbelievable every day. But then also, in working with the national guys like Joe Tipton and Jamie Shaw and Eden Akos, and then on the football side as well, you've got breaking stories constantly. Nobody is breaking more news than on 3. So go there. $1 off for the first month, 50% off for the first year. You are missing out if you don't. Now I think I've got this lined out, even though we're going to switch to basketball. I think I've got Coach Sig right where I want him, Alec.
Was Charlie Becker.
Jimmy, you're right, last one.
Kurt, especially for spring, the offense looked kind of pretty sharp. All 3 quarterbacks looked good. And you had a number of guys that made
pop plays with Kalen Black getting a great run, Roman Hemby, some great plays, as well as BB and Omar Cooper. Do you feel like you've got more individual players that can make plays this year on their own?
Well, either we got more playmakers on offense or we don't have very good tacklers on defense. It's one or the other.
And there's Kurt Cignetti with his little ba-da-bop scene. He likes to he enjoys. You have to like the fact that he doesn't take himself too seriously. You know, when we first met him, he can be prickly, but you know, that's okay. He doesn't treat the media badly per se, and his press conferences can you never know what he's going to say.
No, he also doesn't waste words either, which he gets right to the point. He's very direct, but he's very detailed in that. So he's always a great quote, always great to talk to and listen to, but always provides really high quality quotes, which in this business we definitely love.
And it has been that's been a boon for Indiana football. That's why, well, in addition to the fact that he basically. Indiana football was Lazarus, and he came and revived Lazarus last year in the form of Indiana football. So got a lot of attention in that, but you add the fact of his character, how funny he is. Yeah. That's a walking commercial for Indiana football. It has played a huge role in his success here. I have no doubt. Basketball, man, it has been a busy week. Darren DeVries, the hard work starting to pay off as they land Lamar Wilkerson. They land a huge win over Kentucky in a straight-up head-to-head recruiting battle. That is exactly what it was. And normally you would see a lot of Kentucky fans going, yeah, well, we didn't want him, blah, blah, blah. No, that wasn't the case. They were up in arms down in Big Blue Nation.
No, absolutely. I mean, it was a monumental kind of plant the flag, I've arrived moment for Darren DeVries in this offseason, right? I mean, that was the one player that you really circled out of the bunch that they've landed so far, and you label as a must-win recruiting battle. I mean, he 20 points a game, 44.5% from three, made about 3.5 threes a game, right? So it's a high-volume scorer and a high-volume shooter, which is exactly what you needed. And now you look at what you have with Lamar Wilkerson and Tucker DeVries, right? That 1-2 kind of Batman Robin punch. Now, Tucker DeVries has always been the go-to scorer for his team, right? And he's done a phenomenal job with that. But now you look at him kind of going back into that 1B role and giving the reins to Lamar Wilkerson. And that's a very scary duo, guys who both can create off of the bounce and both can create when they're, spot up shooters as well. And that's a very formidable duo when you look at the fact that they combined for 7.7 made threes a game a season ago, and Indiana as a team made 6.3, right? So again, we continue to harp on the fact that this is going to be a much better shooting team, a much higher volume shooting team, and a much more perimeter oriented team. And that's, I think, you can throw out all the stats you want, but the fact of the matter is, when you have three guys who can consistently shoot the ball, and adding in Josiah Miles into that group, right? I mean, Josiah Miles made, 16 more threes than Luke Goody did last year. And Luke Goody was the highest volume shooter on Indiana's roster from a three-point perspective. And you go back, and Josiah Miles is not by any means a, lights out shooter. He's a good shooter, about 34%, but his 78 threes, you go back and no one made that many threes outside of James Blackman in the 2016-2017 season. And that's going to be, at this point, right, your third best shooter. So you're telling me your third best shooter has made more threes in a season than any other Indiana player in the last decade. And that shows you, again, the type of offense that this team wants to run, and this system is under Darren DeVries. So again, you don't have to rely on Josiah Miles, a guy who's probably more known for his ability to just attack offensively, a very, very good athlete, very big on the perimeter, 6'6", super athletic. You don't have to rely on him, right? Where this guy, you know, coming in probably would be your, you know, 1A or 1B shooting option in previous years. Now is probably going to end up being your third or fourth best shooter. And that's where you really start to build, again, that quote-unquote depth at the shooting areas, which is what Darren DeVries said in his introductory press conference, where he wants multiple guys who can shoot the ball on the perimeter. You now have that. You bring in, you know, Connor Enright, who had his best shooting year under Darren DeVries, his second season at Drake. And now you have four guys who can really shoot the ball in different areas on the floor. But Darren DeVries wanted to build this team around shooting, toughness, and playmaking. You now have three guys above a 25% assist rate. You add in Reed Bailey to that, right? A guy who averaged almost four assists a game as a hybrid forward. Both his assist a game and his assist rate would have been second on Indiana's roster last year. And that's not a low volume. Then you add in the fact that Tayton Conaway and Connor Enright had above a 35% assist rate. No one had above a 30% assist rate last year, right? So you have multiple guys who can create off of the dribble, multiple guys who can create open space and get into the paint and then kick it out to the multiple shooters that you're going to have on the floor. And, you know, Jamie Shaw, you know, brought up a good point yesterday where, you know, talking with Todd Golden during the Florida run, right, this year, is he wanted to build a roster with multiple playmakers and multiple shooters. Right, that's easy to say, not always easy to do, but you're now really starting to see a month into the day, right? You know, March 18th was when Darren DeVries was introduced. It's now 30 days in, and it's very easy for coaches to say what their vision is. It's not always easy for that vision to become a reality, but with
the we're going to just have to get them over the hump.
Yeah. So again, it's easy to say, you know, where you want your team to be, but 30 days in, you now have a clear identity of this team, and it's exactly what he said he was going to do and fill it with playmakers, shot creators, versatility, toughness. And he's done, you know, exactly that with the six guys that he is obviously bringing into to Bloomington next year, with still obviously, you know, work to do. By no means is this a finished roster. By no means is this a roster where you can kind of sit back and let things play out. But now you've hit on kind of all your key skill sets that you need. Now it's about finding the rim protector and putting in the depth pieces that surround the really quality core that you have already.
Any names that potentially might be dropping for that?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, right? I mean, we still have 4 days before the portal shuts down, which, again, you don't have to commit in 4 days. You just have to enter the portal. We saw some big names pop yesterday. You're going to probably see a few more in the next few days. So the thing with Indiana is they do not need to really push the limit on any of these guys at the moment. You still have a whole bunch of guys who are going through the NBA draft process who are going to in turn return to college, and you're probably going to have a couple high school recruitments open up. You see it all the time. Shelton Henderson from Duke just opened up his recruitment yesterday, I believe it was, right? So you're going to see more and more guys do that, because at the end of the day, that's when they're going to be at their peak demand, is at this point in the season or this point in the off season. So for Indiana, it's kind of sit back, let some of these other teams now overspend trying to finalize their roster. You get a couple guys maybe on a cheaper rate there coming in over the next couple of weeks. But you definitely need probably one more shooter on the perimeter, and then you need to finalize that front court with obviously a true rim protector, and then probably, you know, a kind of physical presence there in the paint as well.
It's already going to be a much more relaxing season, summer for Indiana basketball fans, I think. And they can relax and expect that they're going to have good stuff. And football's going to be good. We are seriously on the precipice of potentially entering a phase that has never happened at Indiana. don't want to put that cart before the horse just yet. We'll wait till that gets there, but I can possibly see that on the horizon. What is happening at the Hoosier.com on three?
Yeah, obviously some really good pieces up from last night's spring game, both from a kind of deep dive perspective, and then obviously kind of more of a recap perspective since the game wasn't televised. So a lot of really good analysis there, more stuff coming on individual players, some standouts that Kurt Cignetti talked about, and obviously kind of doing we'll have a piece up later, doing a deeper dive into how this roster for Indiana basketball has been constructed. And again, exactly what I talked about, kind of how the vision of Darren DeVries is actually becoming a true reality at the moment, and how, you know, this roster really does fit together with all the current pieces and what they still have obviously available for them in the coming weeks and months here before that roster is finalized.
Go to the Hoosier.com. Make sure you subscribe now. They've got the great offer up, $1 for the first month, 50% off. No one breaks the stories that On3 does and has the amount of content that the Hoosier.com has up. Bro, you guys are killing it. Appreciate you, my friend.
Appreciate it, Jim. Have a good one.
Happy Easter. Enjoy your weekend.
Happy Easter as well. You too.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. And appreciate each and every one of you. Could not do this without you. It has been a fun week. Guess what? We're back on Monday to do it again. I hope you go out, have yourselves an incredible day, safe, all of that. Until Monday, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
Hello, everybody. Jim Coyle with Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. Make sure you are a subscriber wherever you podcast or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. And for the most up-to-date news on Indiana basketball, football, and recruiting news, go to thehoosier.com now with On3. Just go to thehoosier.com and subscribe today. On3 has great national writers like Ari Wasserman, Andy Staples, and Steve Wiltfong covering football, Pete Nakos, Jamie Shaw, and Joe Tipton breaking basketball stories every day. In addition to that, our own local coverage with Alec Lasley, Kyler Staley, and Zach Browning covering everything Indiana just for you. Go to thehoosier.com. Subscribe today. Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.